everything I was creating was focused on what I thought people wanted to see instead of what I wanted to create. And I got so addictive to your engagement and the admiration and the affirmation, the validation. All of that stuff made me feel worthwhile for the first time in my life after feeling like a loser. However, from there, each post that I hit publish on, you know, it turned me into this social media junkie, and I was always fiending for a dopamine hit. What's going on? You're listening to episode 93 of the Perspective Podcast, and I'm your host, Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective. This show is about carving out time to build something for yourself. I want to share what is and isn't working for me, along with sharing my guest point of view. Also, at the end of each episode, I plug a weekly dose of inspiration to someone crushing it in the community, so stick around to the end because it could be you. And we're back at it again. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Retro Supply Co. Retro Supply is the leading provider of Illustrator, Photoshop, Procreate, and Affinity Design resources to make your work stand out in clicks or drags of your mouse or stylus. This one was really popular 2 weeks ago, so it's back again. Use promo code SCOTTY20 to save 20% off all their design resources like brushes, actions, textures, and fonts. This code also works on their insane bundle kits like the I Want It All Photoshop brushes and the I Want It All Illustrator brushes, and even sale items for additional savings. All of this is excluding the I Want It All bundle because they gotta make some profit somewhere. And if you've been following my stories on Instagram, you can see me jamming to their latest gouache shader brushes as well as their crosshasher brushes. And this is all for Procreate, but you can get it for whatever, basically, design program you use. So again, take advantage of these savings and elevate your work by visiting retrosupply.co, or even easier, just check the link out in my profile on Instagram. So, with episode 100 in our reach, and little Scotty is in the picture, it's so much easier for me to handle solo episodes in the meantime as I try to figure out this new routine for myself and plan the episode 100 launch. I got a lot of cool shit planned for it. So something I haven't done in a long time is a multi-episode series. And I am incredibly jazzed to share with you today part one of a three-part series all about, you guessed it, pizza and your creative career. As I get deeper into the show, I'm going to wrap more context around it shortly, but be prepared to get to know me a whole lot more throughout these episodes and hopefully see yourself within them as well. I promise you, I definitely will not hold back on these ones. In celebration of this series, Pizza Party sticker packs are back in stock now with a limited supply of 50. All right, so this pack is made up of each life lesson, which I've illustrated in my slides and my talk, and they'll also be the featured images for this series. And I tossed in a fourth one that is a fun little pizza pun piece for when I partook in Lauren Hom's homework series when I gave out the assignment. So I'm slanging these throughout this three-week series for only $7, and once the series is over, I'm going to be bumping them back up to full price. So you can snag yours today over at perspective-collective.com/shop. And my last pizza pack series, they sold out pretty quick, so I don't expect these ones to last long either. You can find the show notes of this episode in a blog SEO-friendly format at perspective-collective.com/93. And if you're digging what you hear today, consider supporting the show by sharing the show on social media and subscribing and leaving a ratings and review over on Apple Podcasts. I sadly can only read US reviews, so international listeners, listen up. Please screenshot your reviews and send them to me by email at scotty@perspective-collective.com or Facebook message or Instagram message, whatever's easiest for you. That way I can show you some love in the outro. Let's get into the show. Okay. You know when you leave pizza out for way too long and it gets crusty, hard, and stale. Yeah, that's how I feel about giving the same talk or speech year after year. For me, I am forever in the constant pursuit of finding my voice, my style, and my craft. And honestly, the more I can find ways to inject my pizza-loving, galaxy-dreaming, cats and coffee-obsessed quirks into everything I do, the better. So going into 2018, I had to bake up an idea for a new and different talk, you know, something that was a little bit more different, experimental, that wasn't so safe like my previous talks the years before. And after spending hours upon hours of writing, editing, practicing, and designing slides, my three life lessons learned from loving pizza talk was born right in time for my AIGA Thrive talk, which would have been like late February. So since February, I've served this cheesy topic to a buffet of like 10 different audiences. And some of these audiences have been dishing it out at conferences for those looking to elevate their side hobbies and projects into creative careers. I've shared it to a whole student body of savage and curious eighth graders. And shout out to my Bunger Middle School Wolf Pack. Holla. I've also presented this talk online to a hungry class of college seniors ready to get their feet wet in their creative careers. And furthermore, I've shared it in front of business-savvy entrepreneurs who often lose sight of having a creative edge. Each time I share this topic, though, it gets tweaked to cater to that audience because no audience is the same. My favorite audience, though, is, can you guess it? It's you, the listener. I feel you and I share a one-of-a-kind BFF bracelet bond, and I believe you'll relate most to the topics in this series that I'm going to share with you. If you struggle finding your groove or which path to take in your creative career, then this series is for you. Do you constantly wrestle with self-doubt and comparison? If so, this series is for you. And do you love eating pizza and appreciate pizza illustrations? Well, this is most definitely for you. So without a doubt, I'm not going to lie, there are some strategic factors for me converting this talk that I made earlier this year into a podcast series. The first is it allows me to give podcast listeners a chance to hear this talk, as most of you will never get to hear me give this in person. The second is it's going to allow me to attract more speaking gigs. And if you're listening right now and you want me to come speak for you, feel free to hit me up. And the third reason strategically is that I'm putting this out into the universe in hopes of turning this topic into an illustrated book. Like, that is one of my biggest goals in my life, is to get into books. My real intention is more simple. My goal is to deliver a cheesy yet well-crafted message that hypes you up and prepares you to face the adversity that comes with pursuing your creative potential. So today, we're treating this series like old school Friday nights, where you'd order a pizza and watch family-friendly TGIF TV. So get cozy, as we're gonna build a bridge between creativity and pizza with the following three life lessons. So number one is about understanding that you are not pizza. Number two, learn to take life one slice at a time. And then three is all about learning to love the crust. However, for today, we're devouring lesson number one. So please clean up your crumbs as we proceed. And for this, we're going to go way back in time, okay? This is what I mean. You're going to be getting to know me. And this is all about the origins of making a people pleaser. So for me, growing up, life wasn't always sunshine and rainbows. You see, I was the chunky kid with glasses, braces, and a bowl cut. You could catch me eating chip dip with a spoon or sneaking nacho Doritos for breakfast, or catch me rocking my first pair of JNCO jeans when they weren't cool. And if you don't know what the hell JNCO jeans are, please stop this and go look it up right now and give yourself a good laugh. Safe to say, I was the prime target for bullying, and my daily routine consisted of getting beat up and tormented. Being born in Waterloo, Iowa didn't help my self-esteem either. So my hometown doesn't get the best rap, as there is a lot of drugs, gang violence, and crime in my area. And if you don't believe me, you're like, oh, Iowa, there's no way. I compel you to Google crime in Waterloo, Iowa, and you'll see that there's a lot more to it than farms and cornfields. And being from Waterloo immediately labeled you as a Waterlooser growing up. People were so quick to judge and treat you like the dog shit on the bottom of some bum scuffed up Nikes. The icing on the cake from all of this was getting demolished in every sport from middle school throughout high school. The surrounding cities, athletes, students, and parents let you know that you were Waterloo hot trash every time they kicked your ass. So throughout my life, it felt like losing was ingrained in my DNA. And I assure you, I do not need a therapist to tell me that these circumstances groomed me to become a people pleaser. I remember each night laying in bed, looking up to those fake little glowing in the dark stars that you plaster on your wall. Like, I remember looking up to those and just dreaming and wishing of one day being the cool kid and thinking just like how sweet the nectar of popularity would taste. These desires caused me to eventually start saying, acting, or doing anything that I thought someone like you wanted to hear from me in order for me to be liked and accepted. And I wanted to be liked so badly that my soul and spirit were absolutely crushed if my tactics didn't succeed. And this, my friends, is where I want to cue life lesson number one. You can't make everyone happy. You are not pizza. So think about it for a second. With pizza, you can tailor it to anyone's liking. You can make it gluten-free. You can make it vegetarian-friendly. Or cover it with weird shit like anchovies. Whatever floats your boat, dude. But I hate to break it to you, no matter how badly you and I want to be delicious, cheesy, bubbly, fresh pizza, we never will be. We can't tailor everything about us to someone else's liking. By attempting to do so, you're only setting yourself up for a world of pain. Believe me, I've been there. I thought I was pizza for the longest time, and I got pretty damn good at people pleasing. When I finally got to high school, I accidentally, in my opinion, pulled off an insane makeover. Total accident. So at the end of freshman year, all within a week, I shit you not, I shaved my head, I ditched the glasses and got contacts, and I got my braces off. And from there, I spent that entire summer hitting the weights for sports and somehow morphed into the cool new kid. And I have quotations here. So being good at sports finally helped in that popularity department. And not gonna lie, it finally gave me the guts to talk to the ladies. But here I was as a teenager thinking I had mastered the people-pleasing game. You know, I thought I was an expert. I thought this was like some secret magic trick that only I knew. But when I was 26, I finally started to find my artistic groove after, you know, I'll go over this adversity I faced before 26, you know, the early adulthood age. But when I hit 26, I began finally to start finding my groove with art. And that's about the time I started Perspective Collective too. But sadly, this people-pleasing mentality, you know, it was still with me this whole time, but it eventually began spilling into the work that I was sharing on Instagram. At the beginning of my Instagram quest, I was solely sharing work I thought was dope with no strategy at all of getting discovered. And you could scroll all the way back to my earlier posts and they were just random duties. It was just random doodles and just chicken scratch. And you could see like my hashtags had no strategy behind them. Like I was just posting just to post, okay? I didn't care what happened. I just had some scratch drawings and I just shared them online. No second thought. However, when I started to get even a smidgen little bit of attention through features like Good Type hooked me up, the Daily Type and Calligra Type, those were the early ones. Once that started happening, like my strategy quickly changed. So yes, I was using hashtags better, but there's a lot of things I didn't do right that you may be guilty of right now that you could relate to. So from there, everything I was creating was focused on what I thought people wanted to see instead of what I wanted to create. And I got so addicted to your engagement and the admiration and the affirmation, the validation, all of that stuff made me feel worthwhile for the first time in my life after feeling like a loser. However, from there, each post that I hit publish on, you know, it turned me into this social media junkie, and I was always fiending for a dopamine hit. You know, and the shit didn't take off right away. I was that guy who was guilty of deleting posts and all that stuff because, like, I didn't get the engagement I expected right away, and that reflected poorly on my design decisions. And it got to the point where I was creating for the masses, and all my self-worth was tied up in the engagement. And so one of the first main points I want to talk about of understanding that you are not pizza, this is so crucial, is please, whatever you do, don't create for the masses. When you try to create for everyone, you make it extremely hard for your work to resonate with someone. It's a super slippery slope when your self-worth and identity are measured by how well your work performs. And with social media's ever-changing algorithms, you're gonna fuck your head up. Believe me, I've had some really dark days because of this creating for the masses mentality. When in reality, listen to this, if you don't take anything away from they, take this. All it takes is one post and one person at a time to build a loyal tribe. And doing this consistently over time, it can work wonders in your favor. It was a hard pill for me to swallow, understanding that not everyone was going to love me nor love my work. In fact, there are people out there that are going to hate you and hate your work for no particular reason at all. And I've gotten this plenty of times. And for me, I call these soul suckers haters. And I'll tell you why. You see, haters are going to hate for a reason. Haters, when you break it down, each letter means having anger towards everyone reaching success. Again, I'm going to say that again. Haters means having anger towards everyone reaching success. It's way easier to tear people down to your level than it is to have the courage to put yourself out there and consistently show up and pour your work into the world. Here's the catch, though. Yes, there are people in this world that will hate you and your work. And if you have them, congratulations. All right, I envision that Post Malone song coming in the background of this. But if you have a hater, congratulations, because that means you're doing something right. You have an interesting opinion or style, and you aren't playing it safe by riding the fence. So look at it this way. You will certainly have haters the more you continue to show up. However, there's plenty of other souls on this lush, vast planet that can love you and love your work. And I personally feel the best way to reach these people authentically and organically is simply by staying in your own lane. So this is the second sub point of this talk, but it's all about staying in your own lane. So back in episode 35 of the podcast, I literally made an episode all about this topic. So essentially it means creating work that is true to yourself and that you think is dope. It's far too easy to swerve into someone else's lane and bite their style. It's tempting to follow the flow of traffic and jump on the latest trend. But this is how things get way too saturated and dull. Just scroll on Instagram for a little bit and you're going to see a ton of the same shit. Everybody's recycling everybody else's work. But I get it. You see others succeeding and you want to ride their bumpers to bask in that glory. For me, I am a firm believer. This is a repeating topic I like to talk about, but I'm a firm believer in the law of attraction and the concept of like attracts like. So what do I mean by that? The more you continue to consistently show up and pour your heart, your soul, your DNA, your experiences, and your stories into your work, the more like-minded people you're eventually going to attract to your tribe. Okay? One post, one person at a time. Do not forget that. Because over time, people will eventually have this connection to you. They're not only just going to vibe to your work, but they're also going to care about who you are as a human being because they feel like they know you, okay? There's some type of connection. And when you continue to stay in your own lane, I feel eventually you're going to end up navigating to what I call the sweet spot. So what are your weird quirks or qualms that make you different and unique? What are those stories you have that others can relate to? Anyone can rip your style, but no one can rip your voice and delivery. When you stay in your own lane, you begin to navigate towards finding your sweet spot, or in my pizza terms, I call this the secret sauce. So later on in a future episode, especially if you're hearing this now and you want to hear more on this topic, please reach out and let me know. But in a future episode, I would love to dive deeper into this topic of finding your sweet spot, and I'm going to touch on it real quick. So your sweet spot or your secret sauce is the intersection of three areas. Picture a Venn diagram here, but with three overlapping circles. So the first circle is all about finding your greatest strength. So what comes naturally to you? What is that gift? What can you just do off the top of your head that just comes so naturally that, you know, you don't even see it as one of your strengths? What is it that somebody else wishes they could do that you can just do easily? That's your greatest strength. Next, in the second circle, what lights you up? Essentially, what are you most passionate about? What can you just get lost in the sauce and zone out for hours and you look up like, holy shit, time just flew by? That's your passion. And finally, your niche, whatever you want to talk it. But for me, this is all about finding a market. Where is there a need for what you have to offer in this world? So if you can lock down all three of those, then my friend, that's the secret sauce, that's the sweet spot, and you're putting yourself in a position to have a killer creative career. But as simple as it sounds to achieve your sweet spot, it's even easier to get wrapped up in other people's pursuits. And this is something I like to call the comparison trap. We're all guilty of it, whether we admit it or not, and it's something I fall victim to often, all the time. So comparison breeds this toxic environment for your inner critic to run rampant. So if you're Dr. Jekyll on the daily, the inner critic within you is Mr. Hyde. His sole focus is to convince you you are insignificant and not doing enough, especially compared to someone you envy. We get so caught up in our envy that we become blind to the fact that we have something that someone else desires of us. So I'm a small town Iowa dude who dug himself a pretty large hole with private student loan debt. You know, I always keep it super transparent with you. I also spend 40 hours a week working in a cubicle. I'm extremely hard on myself at times, and I tend to hold these things against me, and it makes me not think very highly or think that, you know, I'm doing something worthwhile in my life. And when I fall most victim to comparison is when I compare myself to my colleagues who owe zero student loan debt and always seem to be traveling, like my homie Eric Friedenson of FDOT, he's been on the show before. Or I often compare myself to people with a massive following with a drool-worthy select client list, and I think of someone like Gemma O'Brien, Mrs. Eves on Instagram. Next, I think of people who do have a day job, but maybe they work remote, or maybe they're just freelance full-time, especially at a young age, and I think of my homie Scott Biersack of You Being Fire. You know, these are colleagues of mine that I can't help but compare myself to on the daily, but it's just dumb of me. Honestly, it's dumb. It's stupid. But I'm human just like you, and I can't help but crave time freedom and financial freedom. And yes, I'm extremely guilty and ignorant about the things I've accomplished that maybe someone like you wishes they could do too. You know, I got a podcast. I know there's other people that wish they had a podcast, but at times I just overlook these things and I just desire what someone else has. But when I actually stop and think about it, you know, I've worked extremely hard and accomplished some pretty cool shit over my last 4 years of starting and running Perspective Collective. And there's been so much to be thankful for. And I believe, hopefully, that I'm leaving something behind, which my son, little Scotty, little Dougie Fresh, little Trace, little Scotty the Third, whatever I'm going to call him on that day, you know, I'm hoping I leave behind something that this little dude can take pride in and be like, damn, that's my dad. Okay, my dad left a legacy. Like, that fires me up and brings so much motivation to me. You have no idea how cool that is in my mind. Like, I could choke up talking about that. Like, that's just a trip. I never thought I would say that. Honestly, I hope you can see the awesome in yourself as well. Whew. All right, so if you need some ammo to attack your inner Mr. Hyde, here are two ways to fight back against your comparison trap. So number one, first way to fight back against comparison trap is put on your blinders. If you're like me, it's hard not to get wrapped up in what someone else is doing. And we often put too much focus on things that are outside of our control. So putting on your blinders means doubling down and getting laser focused on things within your circle of influence. Things like work ethic, time management, strategy and self-marketing, kindness and compassion, persistency and grit. These are all things that you can control and kick ass in right now. The more you disconnect from caring about what others are doing, the easier it is to plug into the big things moving within your bubble. The second way to fight back is all about celebrating others. When you scroll or swipe and you happen to land on someone's work that, you know, makes that inner Mr. Hyde stir the pot, give this a try. So instead of filling yourself up with envy, how about you show love, spread love, and share that person's work with your following, whether it's 5 people, 50 people, 500 or 5,000 or 50,000, it doesn't matter. Share that shit. Show some love, spread that love, share their work. So instead of self-destructing and being like, fuck it, I want to quit and throw this lettering piece or illustration in the trash, or scrap that art board and Procreate, Photoshop, or Illustrator, I want to encourage you to do the exact opposite and celebrate that person. Design Twitter is a real thing. There's a lot of drama with designers attacking other designers over the pettiest shit. It's literally assaulting your own family. There's enough negativity in this world. Be a part of the solution instead of the problem. When we celebrate others, we let go of things that are outside our control. Feel free to study and analyze someone's work all you want. Check out their process, their composition, how they marketed, the hashtag they use. All that, totally, I do it too, but do not let Mr. Hyde win, okay? Keep your comparison trap, that inner critic, in check. So I get it. We all want to be pizza. We want everyone to love us and love the work we share. It's so easy to get paralyzed by comparison or scared of what a hater may say or think. Like in episode 91, pursuing your creativity and your personal legend takes a lot of guts. As cheesy as it sounds, you truly can't please everyone. You, my friend, are not pizza, and neither am I. The sooner we start to accept this truth, the sooner we can forge our own paths and find our own sweet spots. Finding the ingredients to your secret sauce is your mission and the destination. The world needs the best you that you can offer. Okay, I hope you dig this. This is something different. Again, this is just the first part of a 3-part series of a talk I gave earlier this year multiple times. And now I want to break it down for people like you. You know, in case you never get to hear me speak, now you get to know kind of what a talk would be built around. Usually this is like, I've given this talk like a 45-minute version. I've given a 30-minute version, a 15-minute version, a 25-minute version. Even a 20-minute version. So I've given this so many different times, but this is like the long extended 45-minute to an hour version. So next week's life lesson number 2 is all about taking life one slice at a time. We're going to be serving up a hefty portion of daily grinds and marathon mindsets. It is going to be awesome. It's going to be dope. It's going to be hella cheesy. And I hope you dig it. Remember, there's also pizza party sticker packs again at perspective-collective.com/shop. If you want to jump on these, it's a limited supply of 50, and each sticker in there is one of the illustrations from each main point of this talk, along with a fourth one that's just fun and dope. So don't miss out on those. I'll announce it next week as well. Moving on to this week's dose of inspiration, and this one goes out to Josh Sullivan of Fried Design Co. Fried as in fried chicken, fried ice cream, fried Oreos, all that nasty fair food shit. So Josh has a bright, playful, yet edgy style to his illustrations and branding work. He does a killer job of implementing type and lettering into the mix. What stands out most to me is his taco and skull related artwork. It's actually really, really dope. The one I'm looking at right now is a bunch of little skeletons carrying a taco, a large taco above themselves. It's hilarious, but it's actually really, really cool. He's also a part of the PC Facebook group, so check him out again. That's Fried Design Co. on the Grams. I want to talk a little bit about the Facebook community because we are popping right now. We are growing every day, and it's the right people. So if you are desperately seeking a place where you can get feedback on your work, discuss pricing, contracts, and products, find accountability and people to collaborate with all over the world, and access resources to elevate your creative game, well, if so, I got some good news for you. I encourage you to check out the Perspective-Collective Facebook group. I, for one, couldn't find anyone around me that I had anything in common with, and I just felt stagnant. So I had to go online and seek out my people. And that's exactly why I created this group, and I only plug it on the podcast so it finds the right people. We would absolutely love to have you be a part of the family. So connect with rad people such as yourself today, again, at the Perspective-Collective group on Facebook. We would love to have you. If you're enjoying what you hear and you want to support the growth of the show, here are three ways you can make that happen. The first is by, again, backing the show at patreon.com/perspectivepodcast. Your support helps cover producing costs, hiring new help, and updating equipment. It seriously means the world. Even the smallest contribution makes a big difference over time. And I'm always, always, always looking for feedback on how I can improve the current rewards scenario and bring you more value. The second way to support the growth of this show is for you crypto heads out there. In the show notes for each episode, I'll have addies for Bitcoin, Ether, or Litecoin donations if you prefer to go that route. Finally, subscribe and leave a ratings review on Apple Podcasts. Again, if you're international, leave a review, shoot me a screenshot of it so I can do this for you. This week's rating and review comes from my homie, Jack W. Allen. And Jack states, Scotty presents a delightful array of opinions and schools of thought with very accessible words. His riffing with guests always presents really interesting insights with a friendly tone overall. Even if you're not into typography or lettering, the conversations are varied and relevant to all walks of life. And just so you know, I don't only have lettering people on. This podcast is a great primer for all aspects of life, and I heartily recommend it to anybody, especially if you dig pizza. Jack, my friend, thank you so much for the thoughtful review. I sincerely appreciate you, brother. And as I wrap things up, I got to give a huge thank you to my homegirl, Anya Brennan, and Paige Garland for helping me out with the show notes as well as podcast. I couldn't do this without you two. Thank you so much. And a huge thanks goes to Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on this show. Check them out at SoundCloud or at Instagram at Bluka. That's BLOOKAH. And as you finish off this week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.